This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so if you listen to the show, you know there's about 10 or 12 teams that Seth and I have repeatedly listed as possibilities, varying degrees of likelihood, but possibilities for Deshaun Watson. Two of those teams are the Philadelphia Eagles and the Cleveland Browns. We got updates yesterday on where each of those teams currently stand to some degree with their current quarterback situation. Let's start with Philadelphia, where Jalen Hurts was a, look, there's no other way to put it, he was a mess in that game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He did not throw the football well. I believe 23 of 43 on the day, had a couple back-breaking interceptions in that game. It was a rough day for Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. Howie Roseman, though, the GM of the Philadelphia Eagles, is still firmly in Jalen Hurts' corner.
You know, we talk about Jalen and the growth he had, really first-year starter, second-year player, leading this team to the playoffs, tremendously impressed by his work ethic, his leadership. We talked, the last time we talked was during camp, and we said we wanted to see him take the bull by the horn, and he certainly did that.
Okay, so he was their starter all year long. Here's Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network giving some analysis on where the Eagles really stand with Jalen Hurts.
It feels like the rest of the league kind of knows that the Eagles are going in this direction. I did some reporting on this on Sunday as well. Jalen Hurts has done enough in the minds of Philadelphia Eagles brass. You heard Howie Roseman be very clear today. Yes. That Jalen Hurts is going to be their starter going into the offseason. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of talk about veteran quarterbacks available from Deshaun Watson and maybe Russell Wilson and maybe Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, certainly there's going to be some others as well. Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe Derek Carr, a lot of them. I don't expect the Eagles to be in the mix for them. Now, will they always look at potentially upgrading if someone says, like, hey, I want to join the Eagles? Obviously, they would. Howie Roseman always looks into it. But this feels to me sincere and real that they are moving forward with Jalen Hurts as their quarterback. There's two options here, Andrew. They can use all that capital to trade for a quarterback, or they could use all of that to make their quarterback better. Mm-hmm. I think option two is the one.
I think the thing Rappaport touches on there, Seth, that I wanted to hash out here is the sincerity of what Howie Roseman said in that first cut. And I'll point out, you know, before people say, well, that's just what GMs do, they're not going to say this or that, I'll point out that Chris Ballard of the Colts, who ironically traded for the guy, traded high draft capital, a first-round pick that the Eagles now own for the guy that Jalen Hurts replaced, Carson Wentz. Like, Chris Ballard, in his press conference, was non-committal to Carson Wentz, who they traded big draft capital for. So this is not something where all GMs step up to the podium and just take up for their guy.
Sean McVay last year, well, not a GM, you know, basically gave the old Jared Goff as our quarterback for now.
Yes. Yes.
Something along those lines. Yep. There are times when guys really show their hand with that. But I do think that there's also gamesmanship. And I think Howie Roseman's been around a long time. I'm curious what they really think of Deshaun Watson right now. And it might be easier to say this if they think that Deshaun Watson definitely doesn't want to come to play for the Eagles. If you know, as McClain's been saying all along, that Deshaun definitely doesn't want to go to Philadelphia, then maybe the Eagles can just say, okay, well, we don't want him anyway.
Right.
We like Jalen Hurts. But I also think, too, something that Howie Roseman said, which is completely true, is that it's hard to build a team around a good quarterback when you don't have any draft capital and maybe a couple of active players. You know, the Texans are reportedly asking for five pieces, which would mean three first-round picks plus two other things, either draft picks or active players or something like that. So Roseman's saying it's really, look, you can get a great quarterback, but it's hard to build around that guy if you don't have like cheap labor and high draft picks and all of that.
When they're set up to have a ton of it.
Yeah, so I think, but it could be a little bit of that, you know, when the best way to get a girlfriend is to not want a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Because people can smell the stench of desperation on you. So I think that maybe Roseman's talked himself a little into, well, if the Texans do want to trade Deshaun Watson, the price is a little too high right now, so we're just going to play it cool, and we're going to just be 100% focused on Jalen Hurts. But if all of a sudden somebody comes knocking and there's a pretty good offer on it, we'll definitely consider Deshaun Watson.
Yep. So that was Howie Roseman on Jalen Hurts. So as of right now, at least publicly, they're all in on Jalen Hurts, who, by the way, left that game on Sunday early Sunday game, in a walking boot. Apparently he had some sort of foot or ankle issue he'd been dealing with. I don't think that's why he was 23 of 43 throwing the football in that game.
He was sailing it.
He was banged up.
Maybe he couldn't, if he couldn't plant quite right.
Maybe.
I mean, because he was like high and wide on a lot of stuff.
I don't,
like uncharacteristically inaccurate. And, boy, for a guy, you're right, you brought this up. His last two postseason appearances were a national championship game in which he was benched. And, well, no, never mind. Not the last two posts. Last, like a playoff format, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, because he played that 1 year in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So the other situation was Cleveland and Baker Mayfield. Now, the Browns, I believe, have publicly said, we're rolling with Baker Mayfield next year. Again, these are things that I think can change, but Baker Mayfield underwent shoulder surgery yesterday. He went on social media to give us the update.
Hey, everybody, just wanted to check in. Surgery went great. Was a complete success. Had a great medical team that took care of me, and checked that box off to get this fixed. And now it's on the way to, you know, the road to recovery. This is one of those steps to get back to my true self. This past year hasn't been very easy. A lot of stuff has gone down, and it wasn't easy on me or my family. So I appreciate everybody that's reached out, that wished me well and good luck on the surgery, all the prayers and everything. It definitely did not go unnoticed, so thank you. Thanks to everybody that's helped out so far. Now it's on the way to the road to recovery. It's not going to be an easy one, but it's going to be one that I'm going to remember, and it's going to be a special one.
All right, so that's Baker Mayfield. I said he underwent the surgery yesterday. He posted that yesterday. I'm not sure when he underwent the surgery earlier this week. Baker Mayfield did. So shoulder surgery for him. It's a huge year for Baker Mayfield next year. This is a guy who came into the year probably thinking at some point I'm going to get the Josh Allen contract or the, you know, some high percentage of a Patrick Mahomes contract. He's basically in a contract year next year now. He's in his fifth year. He's playing his fifth year option out next year. He's Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston next year. That's what he is.
The Browns, right now, if you're a Cleveland Brown, I wish there were a way. Why don't you have one of our Cleveland Odyssey people do a poll about would you rather have Deshaun Watson or
Baker Mayfield? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good call. I'm writing that
down. Baker Mayfield put that video out, and I kind of, you expect there to be all kinds of nasty snarkiness. I'll say, by Twitter standards, it's actually a pretty wholesome response to Baker Mayfield. There's something about being in a sling that even the trolliest of all trolls won't attack you when it looks like you're down, you're damaged.
That was a deluxe sling, too. Like,
I was jealous.
He looked like he had his arm ripped off and replaced with a robot arm.
It looked like a $6 million man sling.
Kind of cool. I'm not going to lie. Kind of makes me want to go tear my shoulder up and get surgery so I can get a badass brace like that.
Slings are the worst. Of all the multiple surgeries I had on various body parts, shoulders were always my least favorite because you can't sleep after. You have to sleep in a lazy boy, and you're like the sling itself starts to like give you headaches because it's pulling down on your traps and everything.
Yeah.
Shoulders suck. Shoulders are really a son of a, yeah.
What was your total surgery count? How many times did you go under the knife?
I think 14.
Jeez. Yeah. Wow. It's like a tradition. Yeah. It's like the Masters.
I would plan off-season vacations around it.
Around your surgery?
I never planned a vacation in like early February because I had to account for either making the Super Bowl or having postseason surgery.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. When you say you planned your vacation around it, did you plan your vacations to be just after the surgery, so you had ample amount of painkillers for your vacation?
No. I never took the. I don't like painkillers. That's not my thing, man. I'm not saying that as like some kind of superior thing or anything. Like I said, I like plenty of mind altering substances, alcohol chief among them.
Sure.
But there's some of the painkillers that they don't do it for me. I would always get off painkillers as soon as possible, even if I was in pain.
Really?
I just don't like the way it feels. Yeah.
Really? Okay.
The one time that I did, I remember, I was like, okay, I'm going to do it right this time. I'm going to take all my painkillers just to stay ahead of the pain and all that. And I remember after the first prescription ran out, I was just starting, like, those last couple pills I could see where, like, I needed that next pill. And I was like, I was still in a lot of pain. I was having a hard time recovering from the surgery, but I was like, no, there's no way I'm getting that second prescription. That's how it gets you, man. Like, I didn't know.
So you were worried about getting hooked on those things.
Yeah. Oh. And I don't even like it. Like, yeah. I don't even like the feeling, but I started to get that feel for what it's like to be hooked on painkillers.
Yeah.
And that's an awful feeling, too.
Not
so
fun.
I really feel bad for people that get stuck down that road. It's awful.
Yep. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. So
I tried to sell my wife at an underpass, Sean.
While you were on painkillers.
Like, you got any oxy? I only got two left in my prescription.
Brandy. She's like bringing your wallet out to you. No, I don't need the wallet. I need you. He needs you.
Are we going to give this nice man a couple dollars? No, I'm giving him you. He's got oxy. Or at least he claims it's oxy. Sure looks like Tylenol, but whatever.
Pick you up in 5 days. All right. So Philly, Cleveland, we're getting texts about Deshaun possibilities. Okay. This happened on Twitter too. I'm always fascinated by the people that are like, hey, you guys aren't talking about her. Hey, nobody's talking about this team. Seth and I have talked about every team. We can't list all the teams every time we talk about Deshaun. I promise you, if you're bringing up a team that's reasonable, we've talked about them. For example, Texter, and we appreciate you listening. Nobody is talking about Deshaun Watson going to the Steelers, except Sean and Seth. Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Juju Smith-Schuster, Najee Harris, Freiemuth at tight end. And this texter's making the case for Deshaun going to the Steelers. I think the Steelers football-wise would be a great, great stop for Deshaun. It's a rabid fan base. They are known to be okay with quarterbacks who've had issues off of the field, Roethlisberger. And I think the only thing there is just how into the marketing part is Deshaun. You know, like how into the glitz is he? Because Pittsburgh is the opposite of glitz. Although it is kind of football glitz. It's a blue blood franchise.
I'll tell you what. I mean, it all depends on what you're into. And I think it was just too easy to assume that part of what Deshaun wanted in Miami was part of that South Beach lifestyle, I think, when obviously there was a lot more substance to it with Brian Flores maybe being key amongst those factors. The thing about Pittsburgh, Sean, is that just from talking to guys who played for the Steelers when the Steelers were good, it's just an experience unlike any other in the NFL. You know, probably kind of like the Green Bay experience, but a little bit different because it's geographically in a different area. Pittsburgh's an actual city, at least.
Yeah.
Unlike Green Bay, which is like a nice...
It's a town.
It's a town. Yeah. It's a tiny city.
Yeah.
But the fact that Steelers fans are just... They're like... A less psychotic Raiders fan base.
Yeah.
I think they're psychotic in their own way, but not in as scary a way as maybe sometimes some of the Raiders. I guess the costumery isn't quite as drastic.
A much lower chance of you getting accosted at a Steelers game than there is a Raiders game. Although I've been to one Raiders game in Oakland, and it was delightful. It was a Sunday night game against the Chargers. Amy and I went, and they could not. Now they looked like scary people, but they could not have been nicer.
They're dressed up like they're in GWAR or something.
Yes, that's exactly it.
But I guess most of the people that dress like you're in GWAR probably in real life, they're not that way. That's their alter ego.
That's right.
But anyway, it's an experience unlike any other, and it's one of those things kind of like when you're a Steeler that was on one of those great Steelers team, you're a Steeler for life.
Exactly.
And I don't think that a guy like Deshaun should discount that, given that over time, even the people that are diehard, you know, Deshaun backers right now, most of those guys are going to start to kind of fall by the wayside as time goes by after Deshaun leaves.
Yep. If no one does a text message, if no one trades for Deshaun, is there any way for the Texans not to pay his $40 million next year? The answer is no. If he's on the team, they're paying him, and his salary next year is guaranteed. So
yeah, it's hard for them to cut him. This is the hard thing. And this is I'm not saying Deshaun would do this, but this has been kind of the trend, is that guys all of a sudden have a mysterious back injury or hamstring injury and they can't play. And the team can't fine you for not playing you when you're injured or when you've got a nondescript back injury. And that sucks, but that's the case. And, I mean, if the morals clauses in NFL contracts aren't usually all that. It's going to be hard for the Texans to get out of that contract.
Yes. Yep.
The closest they could get is if they could prove conduct detrimental. But Deshaun, according to, and this is the team has backed up Deshaun in this. They've said nothing but positive things about how Deshaun has done everything they've asked him to do.
Yep.
And he's been in meetings and he's done all this stuff. So I think it would be hard for them to get a conduct detrimental against Deshaun. Deshaun's playing the game the right way. And, like, whether it's right or wrong, he's punking the Texans when it comes to playing the game. They're getting punked. And that's all they're right now. Maybe they get something for him, but right now they're getting punked.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.